The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Dr. Gavin Ortlund is back with us. Gavin serves as the senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Ojai in Ojai, California. He is the author of Anselm's Pursuit of Joy and Retrieving Augustine's Doctrine of Creation. We follow Gavin on his YouTube page, which we love. Very interesting. It's called Truth Unites. And Gavin, welcome. We're going to talk about a subject that you featured on Truth Unites recently. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good to be back with you guys.
Thank you.
All right, so hell.
To start off with a fun topic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so hell. I think about the cultural concept of hell a lot. You know, it comes up in movies, it comes up obviously in language, in music and everything. And I wonder, I often think that it's so much a part of like, I don't know, we look as like the fable of life, the average person, that I wonder if we've really been able to retain any of the truth of the doctrine of it. How do you look at that?
Well, when I was growing up, this was a major struggle for me. When I was in college, I had lots of friends who were non-Christians and just grappling with the sadness of it was sort of overwhelming. And then also just facing objections to it and kind of feeling like, wow, I can understand how someone could look at this and it could seem so terrible and harsh. Like, how could I believe in this? So for me personally, just working through that has been helpful to kind of get some answers that then I can. And I've gotten to a point where I've kind of felt more peace. Now I can understand this better. But I think it took working through some caricatures that I had. And I think
Cultural caricatures?
I think so. And I would say perhaps even in the church as well. Mm. You know, I'm sure I'm not the only one who thought of hell as a kind of torture chamber when I was a kid, that God builds this dark, fiery torture chamber. And that's where he sends people. And it's a tricky thing because we don't want to take away from the seriousness of hell. You know, we don't want to make it sound like it's not a bad, scary place. But I think the way people understand that sometimes is arbitrary, as though God just decides to do this. And I think what C.S. Lewis has helped me think about is that it is an understandable idea if you think that God is the source of everything good. And so if you're banished from God's presence, you could say sort of like, what could it be but hell? Mm-hmm. And that's helped me think, not that it's taken away all the struggles or the sadness of it, but it's helped me understand why it kind of makes sense.
So hell as the absence of God in many ways. And Gavin, you've talked about this. You say that all reality is pulling in two opposite directions. So every choice that we make, essentially, and you know, not to oversimplify things, is a decision between heaven and hell.
Yes, that's what's helped me think about this. If you think of God as the source of all that is good, and you say, well, people are ultimately designed. We have a soul. We're headed somewhere. We're ultimately designed to be united with God, to live in his presence. As followers of Jesus, we believe that's what Jesus came to do, to restore us to God, to reconcile our relationship with him. But ultimately, for every human being, that either will happen or it won't happen. And so when you think about that, it becomes the Christian view of the sort of end, final state of things is like this ultimate pulling apart, like C.S. Lewis called it, the great divorce. This final, you know, there's God, and if you get God, you can't not be fully happy and fully alive because of who God is. But if you're banished from God, you can't have any happiness because where would it come from? You know, God is the source of all good. And so it kind of, that has helped me make more sense of this, that this isn't arbitrary. It's not like God just said, well, of all the options for the afterlife, let's make them heaven and hell. You know, it's like, no, it couldn't be anything but that because of who God is.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's just land on The Great Divorce for just a minute, which for those of you listening is a book by C.S. Lewis, if you're not familiar. One of the things that kind of helped me to put it in context were the actual people that he introduced. And it made me see that the destiny of the person is like, it's an individual thing. It's not like a pronouncement on a group, as it is like the hell is personal and different. You know what I mean? Someone's hell is different than someone else's hell. Right. And I don't know, to me that like kind of opened up a whole new way of thinking about it.
Yes, I'm the exact same way. And also heaven being very personal.
Yes, exactly.
And yes, and it makes it feel less arbitrary because it's not just this building that in the underworld or something that God sends people to. But and what C.S. Lewis helps me think about too with that is the seriousness of our moral choices. You know, for people listening to this who maybe have doubts about this, you know, one of the appeals that I would make is whatever else you say about the Christian way of looking at things, it really gives dignity to the choices we make every day, because the Christian faith is saying that these choices we make every day, either toward the light, toward God, or toward the darkness, away from God, that's doing something that can last forever. You know, we can be, if we're getting more and more stuck in our envy, in our anger, you know, that's serious. Whereas if you don't believe in an afterlife, it's, you know.
So what's the matter?
That's right. Yeah. So it helps us to take, you know, and for the question of, well, why would anyone not choose heaven? It helps us when we think about, well, we can see this choice playing out right now. All of us have had times in our life where probably we can admit, yeah, I didn't take the joyful path. It was too humbling. It was too hard. I was fine to stick within my own little darkness. And that's a sobering thought. But the gospel does give us hope, of course, as well. So I know we'll talk about that.
Gavin Ortlund is with us. His latest book is called Anselm's Pursuit of Joy. You can find Gavin on his YouTube channel called Truth Unites. So, Gavin, in the piece that you did on YouTube, Does Hell Make Sense, which, you know, we're amplifying here, you tell a really interesting story about Tim Keller. Could you please repeat that for our audience?
Yes, certainly. Yes, he Tim Keller is talking with a person in his office, and Tim Keller, of course, ministering in Manhattan, where there's many skeptics who have objections to things like hell. And this particular person said that they really couldn't take seriously the Bible's fire and brimstone type language, and they just thought it was kind of silly. And so he read him some of C.S. Lewis. Hell begins with a grumbling mood, you know, always ungrateful, never satisfied. And he introduces this idea that we've touched on a little bit here, that hell is, it's a divine judgment, but it's also kind of in line with the trajectory of sin and the trajectory of evil. And so he's talking about how, you know, one way to think about hell is when God just says, okay, you're if you want to run the other direction, okay, and you're stuck with yourself, kind of a thing. And he said that the man got very quiet and said, that scares me to death. And it helped me think about, you know, sometimes I think we need to scare people with the fire and brimstone language. And I want to be careful about that, because I want to honor the language of Scripture. I'm not saying we shouldn't use that language or something, but it is helpful to know that sometimes what people might find most scary is this more subtle way of thinking about it as well, which I think is not necessarily at odds with that language, but it's also another layer on top to consider, that it is terrifying to think of being left all to yourself. And your resentments and your unforgiveness or whatever it is that we struggle with, to think. And that's, of course, why the gospel is such good news. It's the gospel, something external to our lives, the grace of God coming in, you know, ushering us towards something we could never have discovered on our own.
All right. So how about the, you know, thinking about objections, and certainly things that I've considered on my own and struggled with, is the idea that, well, if God is so loving, then how could he possibly, you know, send somebody to hell? But you brought up Tim Keller. We were just talking to Tim and Kathy last week on the show, and his article in The Atlantic that he wrote about death is just really, it's just really excellent and really honest and thought-provoking. But one of the things he says in there is that, you know, if there's a God who we can explain, or a God whose judgments we understand, then he's not much of a God, because he's just like me, right? So like, that's no good news for anybody. That applies to judgment too. And that applies to hell too. You know, every time I think, you know, we've talked about the Ravi Zacharias story, you know, 30 times in the last 2 months. And I keep coming back to the fact that there is a perfect judge. There is one. Mm-hmm. And even when things are not adjudicated fairly on earth, which most of the time they're not, even if people suffer with untold injustices, there is a judge, and he is a good judge. So talk about that. I mean, the character of God and recognizing that his reasoning is bigger than ours has to figure in.
Yes, I think so. And I read the same Tim Keller article and appreciated it so much. And his emphasis on this has helped me a lot. Yeah. If my faith never really challenged me or even made me concerned and angry at times, or bothered me at times, I'd know that it's not the truth. Right. Just like any relationship, you know, if it's any real relationship will change you over time as slowly you kind of see things that you never could have seen otherwise. And I agree with what you're saying and what Tim Keller has said, that the human heart does long for justice and for judgment. When we really see evil, we all have a sense that, you know, a good God is not just going to be like a Santa Claus type figure who's just blessing people perpetually and never judging people. But what ultimately helps me think about this topic, of course, is the cross, where we believe Jesus himself, God incarnate, was judged in our place. And when I look at that, the way I ultimately land the plane on this, because I'll be honest, all this is helpful to talk about, but ultimately it doesn't necessarily take all of my struggles away.
Right.
But when I look at Jesus hanging on the cross, I say, a God who can do that, I can trust. Mm-hmm. I may not have all my questions answered, but if that's the clearest revelation of the heart of God, one who would die for his enemies, one who says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, I'm all in with that. Mm-hmm. I can trust a God who does that, even if I don't have all my questions answered.
That's really good. Yeah. Really good.
So we were just talking before you joined us, Gavin, about confession. So in that thread, to avoid hell, right, you want to make the good choices here on earth. You want to lean towards heaven. You want to be with Christ. But I also have to have a measure of confession, and in that confession, a measure of God's grace to deliver me to eternal heaven, right? All those things are working together, are they not?
Absolutely. And for anyone listening to this wondering, how do I take that first step? Maybe even feeling desperate or unable to know how to start. It feels overwhelming, you know. I think it has to start with recognizing our need for God's grace. And we don't have to fix ourselves. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. We just run to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Come into my life. Save me. Those simple two words, save me. Man, I prayed that prayer a lot.
Yeah.
And it's the smartest prayer I've ever prayed, because God responds to that prayer. So anyone listening to this, not knowing where to start, just start by coming to God and just asking for his help. Ask him to reveal himself in your life. You know, read your Bible. Check out a church. He will help you. He will meet you where you're at.
That's Dr. Gavin Ortlund. He serves as senior pastor of First Baptist Church of Ojai in Ojai, California, where the weather is nicer than it is here. Gavin, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, it's been great to be with you guys. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.